Okay, so welcome, namaste, to this first lesson of the Dissolving the Ego course. I always get a little bit hyper, a little bit giddy before I start the course again. It's one of my favorite things to do. I say that with everything, really, but I love getting to meet new people and our family expanding, which is wonderful. Just before we get started, just a few announcements I want to read that'll just help you navigate through the course a bit easier. We're always here to help. If you need any help at all, just email in evolutionofspirit@gmail.com. So welcome. And we're going to be doing a lesson like this at the same time every Sunday. And then on a Thursday, we'll have a live Q&A session each week. But those are going to be at differing times. So the next one, the first one, is Thursday the 10th at 11 a.m. UK time. So if you can't attend that live, it's okay. You can send in a question or some feedback or an issue you're having, and it'll be read out anonymously, actually on the session live. You can do that if you want to. There's a contact form on the page. On the email you use to access this, there's also a link to a page that's got all the resources on that you need. And on there, there's a little form you can fill in to send in questions and things like that. If you want to send it in for Thursday's session, it needs to be in by 24 hours before, so 11 a.m. UK time. It's 2 p.m. here now, if that helps you to kind of get the time sorted. So each week, a lesson and then a Q&A session to help us assimilate the lesson. And you'll also be sent some little nuggets each day via email. Just a little snippet of something I've written, which goes along with this week's lesson to help you integrate it and understand it clearer. as I said, there's a link on the email you've received with this Zoom link to access everything you need for the course on that page, that hidden page. Nobody else except you guys can see that hidden page when they go to the website. So it's all there for you. The recordings will be put up on a page, on that page too. There's a link there to the recordings page. So shortly after the sessions, these recordings will be uploaded. You can watch them again and again. You can download them and keep them if you want to also. There's also on that list, a list of Sangha meetups for course students. These are groups that are run by students that have done the course a couple of times or more and are sort of deeply imbibing the teachings. And they're meant really for, they'll go through the lesson. So these week's Sanghas will go through lesson one. But they're also meant for building community. We've seen it already happen. There's something going on in Mexico, apparently. You can join these if you're a course student. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to even put your camera on. You can just join in and listen, or you can participate if you want to, free of charge. Part of the course as well. I really encourage you, if you can, to make some friends within the course. They'll be able to help you apply what you're learning as well. So those are the Sanghas. So if you, during the session, if you can stay muted, and if you need to move around a lot or sort of listening on the go, it might be better just to turn your camera off because it sometimes can be distracting. So we'll go through the lesson today. We'll take a quick break, 5-10 minute break, if I remember today. And then we'll open up for Q&A here so we can have questions based on what we're going to go through today. One last thing, which is quite important, is that on the 13th, the USA clocks change. So this session will be different for you, the time, on the 13th. And then on the 27th, they change here in the UK as well. So it's best just to double check, because although technically it should be the same time every Sunday, it's going to get a little different. Just to make it fun. We all love time zones changing here. So we're going to go through lesson one today. Just a quick overview of the course itself. It is in four lessons, everything I wish I'd known when I was trying to wake up and when I was trying to live as the self. Everything that if I only had these four lessons with you, that I would want to tell you that I feel that I could say right now, you know this, you have what you need to wake up fully. And of course, I hope I do see you again. But if I didn't see you again, I would feel that I'd given you everything I needed to make that happen. I can't help you dissolve ego fully in 4 weeks, but you can be well on the way to that by the time the 4 weeks is over, and you can have the tools that you need to do that. Everything that we're going to go through in these 4 weeks is based on all the mistakes I made, finding out many ways that awakening doesn't happen, and then finding the opposite of that, where I didn't break through, and then turning that around. So it's based on some quite practical stuff, which I found in my own awakening. I was kind of wanting some really sort of practical, what do I actually do here when this thing happens here? That's the aim of the course. So lesson one is we're going to learn to recognize what's real, tuning into the noumenon. I'll explain more about that in a minute. So we're going to actually find how to access, and even if you already can, how to do it even more, different ways to do that. What is real and stable and deathless and timeless about you, unchanging, ever present. Lesson two next Sunday, we're going to look at the karmic patterns that come up. If you're anything like me, then the closer, the deeper you get into seeing what you really are, the worse karmic patterns seem to become. They seem to get, some of us experience them becoming really quite much stronger. So why is that happening when I see clearer that my karmic patterns are coming up stronger? And we're going to look at that next week. We're going to look at something called cause and effect, and how our thinking is sustaining these unknowingly, and what to do about that. Lesson three, we're going to, is a shortcut really to the whole process. Do I feel like someone recognizing the self, the awareness, the silence? Or do I feel like I'm the silence recognizing itself? And lesson three is going to have some shortcuts, some exercises to help really shift our identity over. By identity, I mean what I know myself to be. Am I a person, someone moving towards something, or am I already looking from the place I'm trying to get to? And the fundamental differences in those two experiences are massive. And then lesson four, we're going to look at how to transcend the final or the first duality, whichever way you look at it. The idea that form has arisen out of formlessness, that form and formless, manifest and unmanifest, are actually two different things. And this is really the duality, the set of opposites that we're always dealing with, whether we realize it or not. So that'll be the icing on the cake to bring it all together. Everything that you really need is in this lesson today. The rest are just going to speed that process. I'd encourage you to watch them all again and again during the week, to ask any questions you have, even if they seem silly to you. They're not silly to me. It's the questions that you don't ask that are silly, right? Because, you know, we're here to advance spiritually, and we're here to wake up fully. This is your time here. And any question that you ask is not only going to help you, it's going to help everyone. There is only the one of us waking up here. So every question that you have burning inside you is going to be everyone else's question, whether they realize it or not, including mine. And every answer I give is going to help everyone, including myself. So it fits together quite well. And over the 4 weeks, we get this wonderful little family thing going on, which is really lovely. So learning to recognize the self is the title of lesson one. And I'm going to read from a lesson plan, a sheet that will also be uploaded each week along with the recording. So you don't have to write any of this down unless you want to. Just listen in if you want to, just taking it in. And I'm going to be using this word noumenon sometimes. You might have heard it already. It really just was a word that helped me, because awareness, silence, consciousness, they all had some kind of mental image for me that I used to hold on to without realizing. So noumenon was something that I couldn't really form an image of. It simply means that which is not a phenomenon, that in which phenomena arise, appear to arise. It means that which cannot be perceived by the senses or experienced. It just is. So I'll be using that word as a synonym, synonymous with awareness, silence, stillness, consciousness, being, presence, and others. If you don't like it, throw it out. It's fine. If you do like it, great. It's easier to say than it is to spell. So we're going to be dissolving the ego. The course is called Dissolving the Ego. Why do we even want to dissolve the ego? I know that may seem like a strange thing to ask when we're all suffering from the egoic sense of self. If we begin to think of ego as that set of assumptions, thoughts, two useful definitions at this point that I found for ego, or the egoic sense of self, or the mind, or the separate sense of self. I'm using those terms all as the same thing. It's a set of assumptions, firmly held beliefs about how we are, how the world is, what the world is, all of that, that really keep our thinking in a rigid way and really don't allow reality to kind of shine through the body mind. We could also look at ego as an either-or mechanism. It wants to see two choices and it wants to know which one is the right one. So that'll become more useful as a definition as we move through later weeks in the course. So dissolving the ego doesn't mean we don't really have one at all. It means it becomes, instead of this hard crystallized thing, it becomes a softer, more fluid thing that we can use, personality as a sort of a vehicle, the software that the self uses, the noumenon uses, the awareness will use to run the body-mind vehicle. So I'm using that software right now to kind of formulate these words, but it's a very soft, fluid thing, and it doesn't cause suffering anymore in that way. So we're going to dissolve the ego. It is a passive process. We're not going to be killing, destroying, crushing, annihilating anything. Naturally, in lesson one here, we're going to learn how to bring attention to what's real and stable. And naturally in doing that, our attention is going to be less on what is unreal. And we're really just changing one habit here in lesson one. All of us have been trained to and are very well practiced in putting attention on the phenomena, the changing, the moving, the coming and going. And of course, most of all, it's thoughts, the phenomena of thoughts. So we're going to be building, because that's just a habit. How many times do we walk into a room and look at the space in the room first before we look at the furniture? We might even ignore the space in the room completely, even though it's always there. How many times do we look at the awareness that's watching the thoughts appear rather than the thoughts? Which way around do we usually look at those? So we can't just stop paying attention to thoughts, to phenomena, but we can replace that with a new habit to pay attention to the noumenon first. And the other thing I have to tell you about this is that we can start from the honest place of none of us are supposed to know how to tune into the noumenon, how to recognize the self. We all have this idea, I did, that I should know how to do this already. Just because the silence, the stillness, the consciousness, the beingness, the presence is what really is what I really am, doesn't mean I should know how to find it if nobody has shown me how to. And if all the training in my life has been to recognize phenomena, using my mind and my senses, comparing phenomena, then how would I know how to recognize what's true until somebody helps me, shows me how to do that? So if we were sat here learning a foreign language, if this was the first class in learning a foreign language, would you be coming to this first class expecting that you should already know how to speak that language? Absolutely not. So why do we all expect ourselves before we arrive at satsang to somehow know and then blame ourselves when we can't find the silence or awareness? And that's what we're going to start from there. It's a new skill. Each lesson is a new skill that we're going to be learning. So we're learning four new skills. and that is the basis of the course. And as you learn those four skills, they become the foundation blocks of a stable, permanent, effortless awakening. So nobody knows how, even the most enlightened being that's ever walked this planet, knows how to recognize the self just like that. We all have to learn this new skill. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be learning 14 different ways to recognize what's true. So along with that, everything else on that page, that hidden page, the resources, there is also the PDF copy of the book, Dissolving the Ego. And that has, that has more description on these 14 ways. So as I'm going to go through these 14 ways to recognize what's true in a minute, I would like you to just listen and just to maybe make a note of, or a mental note of, which ones that you feel very much aligned with, or which ones you don't feel aligned with as well. And after the session, you can reference the Dissolving the Ego book for more detail on how to do that one. So what I'm going to ask of you for lesson one is to commit to 20 minutes a day meditation. And that can be split into two 10-minute sections if you push for time. You can do more if you want to. It's not going to get you there any faster in terms of doing more time. For 20 minutes meditation, you can continue to do any other form of meditation you've got going on. I would just ask you to do this separate to it. Don't try to combine it with something else. Otherwise, you'll lose the beauty and the simplicity of this. All we're doing is bringing attention away from phenomena and towards what is real and stable. As we do this, ego starts to dissolve on its own. Most of us are, I know I was, unconsciously sustaining my egoic sense of self by putting a lot of attention on it, wondering why it wasn't going. And I know that sounds counterproductive, but I spent a good long while doing that. Why isn't my ego dissolving? Why aren't I moving beyond separation? To do that, you have to make yourself a separate being again. So we're going to be doing the only thing we can, which is taking attention away from that as often as possible. And when attention is drawn to it, like we're going to look at that next week, some karmic pattern comes up. So we're just beginning to learn how to look for the background of our experience. All of us have been taught to focus on the objects. And when we do that, it's very hard to see the background. And most of us at first, it feels like a strange thing to do. But all of this is going to become all of this is going to become clearer as you just begin to apply what you're learning here. The great news about all of these lessons is you don't have to understand mentally any of it to get benefit from it. You begin to notice a benefit immediately, and that benefit will begin to accumulate in how your body and mind feels as you begin to focus more on the noumenon, the awareness, the silence, the stillness. You begin to feel more energized and alive and vital. You begin to have more insights and epiphanies. You begin to feel more that the self, the noumenon, is always there, and eventually become clear that that is what you are, that you're already looking from there. This class is the awareness talking to the awareness about how to recognize awareness. This isn't a teacher and a student's trying to get the students to a place that they're not already at. You already are that, and we're going to look at how to recognize that and then live as that. Building a new habit. And all you need to do that is to do your 20 minutes meditation a day and to come back to this material again and again in order to... The self-consciousness, the noumenon, whatever we're calling it, learns by repetition, not by kind of figuring it out mentally. It learns by repetition. So you give the self an information enough times, it's taken in as familiar and immediately acted upon. So you can't fail in this because you already are the self, the noumenon. You cannot fail to wake up either, although you can have a convincing experience again and again if we believe that that is true. We'll look at that next week. So as I'm going to go through these, we'll go through as many of these as we can of the 14, and then we'll take a break. We might take a break a little bit through those. Just listening to which ones feel aligned with you. Your body's going to give you some kind of sense of resonance. You may feel more relaxed when you're listening to one of them. You may feel more open, more more free. You might feel a little sense of excitement. Some of them you might feel bored, restless, don't like that one. And that's your kind of your body telling you which ones are the ones that you need to try. And it's all right if you feel excited about 10 of them. You don't have to pick one method. There might be some that you're already doing. And even if you are, just listening again and moving deeper into it, because we can always be moving deeper into what we really are. So these are methods of meditation I'm going to describe, and I'd ask you to listen to them all. Even if you think, I don't like this one isn't for me, just listen anyway, because I'll be dropping in some hints and tips about the actual meditation process in itself. So we're starting with the first one. And again, this list is on the document. You don't need to write it down. Being aware of awareness is the first of the 14. So we're going to call it all these different names, a noumenon, most of which you've heard before, I should imagine. They're all in the book, the PDF version, or if you've got the paperback of Dissolving Ego, the PDF version is there for free on the page. So you don't have to remember everything I'm saying. So hopefully you can just relax and kind of just feel these out as I'm describing them. So being aware of awareness, at all times there is awareness, but we're not really always conscious of that. So tuning in to the noumenon this way for 20 minutes is simply finding some quiet space, turning your phone on silent or whatever you can do, and noticing that there's awareness present. And you can set a timer on your phone for 20 minutes if you want to, don't want to run over, if you've got somewhere to be. And then you can start with the question, am I aware? This question was helpful for me. So am I aware right now? We can do this right now. Am I aware? Well, something is aware and noticing, isn't it? What the senses are taking in. Your eyes are seeing this image of me. Your ears are hearing these words. Your body, you can feel your body. The sense of touch is functioning. You're aware of what the senses are doing right now. You're aware of these words. You're aware of whether you understand them or there's a sense of confusion or clarity or all of that. So just a checking, am I aware right now? Yes, there is awareness here. And that is simply it. So noticing awareness, being aware that there is awareness, same thing. And then the very next thing that's going to happen is that you move from being aware of awareness to aware of some thought, some sensation. So here's the old habit, the noumenon. We're aware of the noumenon here. We're calling it awareness. And then we'll be aware of some phenomenon, some thought, some experience, some other being, some sound outside during our meditation, something, some phenomenon will pull attention. I'd really like you to listen to this next sentence very, very intensely. It cannot stop attention wandering, and we're not trying to. So we start with the question, am I aware? Yes, there's awareness. Oh, that's lovely. There's awareness. Very next thing, I realize 10 minutes has gone by of my meditation. I've been lost in thoughts. No big deal. You cannot stop that. And you're not supposed to. You don't have to even stop that. You don't have a choice in that moment when you're lost in thoughts. Once you come back to clarity and realize, wow, for the last 10 minutes, I've been off with this freight train of thoughts, then and only then do you have a conscious choice and free will in that moment. Do you then redirect your attention back to being aware of awareness, or do you let it stay being aware of thoughts? If we're being aware of thoughts, we're sustaining our sense of separateness and our ability to suffer. If we bring it back to the awareness, we're not able to suffer in that moment. So it's not the goal, and again, this is very important, it's not the goal of any of these meditations to keep your attention 100% of that 20 minutes on the awareness. It's impossible. It's impossible. I couldn't do it at all. So however many times you find that attention has wandered, whether you're lost with thoughts for 15 minutes, then you recognize and you come back to the awareness, no big deal. Whether you notice awareness and then you're off in this blissful state for 20 minutes completely and you don't notice the time has gone off, that's fine too. Just in those moments where you have a conscious choice, choosing then to come back to being aware of awareness here. A lot simpler than we realize this meditation. Can't stop attention wandering. That's what it does at first. It doesn't stay anywhere for any length of time, does it? Jumping around all over the place. And if you said to me, you know what, I had a whole 20 minutes where my attention didn't wander once, I wouldn't say that's a good meditation. If you said to me, it was just a horrible, restless meditation, my attention jumped at least 100 times in that 20 minutes, it was just all over the place, doesn't mean it's a bad meditation. Those terms don't mean anything to me. It's just what your meditation was that day. So as long as when you have a conscious choice, you're bringing attention back, awareness back to look at itself. The next one is listening to the silence. And with awareness and silence and all of these, when you first notice it, it won't seem amazing. When I first heard silence, it wasn't blissful. It wasn't, oh my God, that's amazing. It was just, well, that's silence. It's the absence of sound and it's quite dull, really. In fact, I was actually quite bored the first time I listened to the silence because it didn't seem like the beautiful, blissful thing that had been advertised as, you know, the kind of awakened state. But I stuck at it anyway. I began to realize that I might be hearing the silence through my assumptions that it's not really that important. All of us are being ignoring the constant silence in the background. And without realizing it, labeling it as irrelevant, necessary, but not important, or something like that. Same with, am I aware? Well, yeah, I'm aware. No big deal. How is that special? That's not the noumenon. Well, actually, it is. So just listening to the silence. And first of all, we can begin to hear the silence by contrast. So I used to strike a singing bowl and let the sound fade away. And as the sound faded away, the silence was quite palpable. Or if you hear a siren, an emergency siren going past, and as it passes, there's suddenly, or you've had some loud music on or something, suddenly there's kind of a ringing silence in the background that's become noticeable. Or when I stop speaking these words, there's a silence. Doesn't seem spectacular at first, does it? But listening to it anyway, and again, you'll find yourself listening to silence. And then without realizing, you'll be off listening to thoughts or listening to some sound outside or something. It's okay. Doesn't mean anything's going wrong. Just bringing attention back to listening to the silence once you realize. Not even the Buddha managed to stop attention wandering 100% of the time. It's not possible. If we just kind of accept that right now, we're going to have much more fun in our meditation. Just checking. There's a sound, there's some words, and I can use those to help me recognize the silence in between. So just relaxing and listening to the silence, 20 minutes or so, using the contrasting phenomena of sound and thoughts, the noise of thoughts. When they stop, you can notice the silence in between. It's not the aim of the meditation either to get rid of all the phenomena. Don't have to do that. So number three is resting in the stillness. So when anything moves, anything at all, inside, outside, it's moving inside this stillness. So when a thought pops up, has its existence for however long it's there and disappears. It's moving through the stillness, the still space. If my body got up and walked across the room, it would be walking through some space that isn't moving, something that's already still completely. So just noticing that sense of stillness, noticing whatever moves, attention will go to what moves, a thought, a sensation, maybe your belly starts gurgling or you yawn or something, and attention will go to the phenomena because that's what it's habit to do. We've all prioritized phenomena as more important than that which they're appearing in, and that's okay. Just turning that habit around. And noticing that however many times attention wanders, it doesn't matter. You can just simply bring it back when you realize. Again, stillness, it won't seem spectacular at first. And as you sit with it more and more each day, it'll begin to reveal itself to you that it's really quite something amazing. So noticing the sense of being is next. So you are a human being. You are the self appearing as a human being, rather. We're all very well aware of the human bit, the mind, the body, the emotions, the experiences, the relationships. What about the being part? Well, the part of you that isn't being anything in particular, it just is. There's just a being about you. So just noticing the sense of being here, being. And then, of course, inevitably, attention will go to being someone, a thought about being a someone trying to get somewhere or do something. And you can just simply bring it back, just noticing the sense of being. 20 minutes more if you want to, just that simple thing. At any point during the meditation, you're either going to be looking at a phenomenon or looking at the noumenon. And here we're calling that beingness. Just gently bringing attention back. No blame, no big deal if your attention wanders. It's going to wander. That's what it does at first. Until it begins to recognize how nice it feels to just notice the beingness itself. And attention will come to want to rest all by itself. You don't even need to make that happen. If it's wandering, still it's wandering, no big deal. Next is noticing the sense of presence. And again, we can recognize this by contrast. You are present right now. You're not absent. Something about you is present. There's a presence that is you. Don't need to think about what that is. Just noticing that presence. And then noticing, we'll move to noticing some thoughts at some point. Some distraction will occur and bringing it back. And as with all of these 14, when you first begin to do it, it will feel like there's a you and it. So it felt for me like I was noticing the sense of presence, that there was an egoic me, a separate me, and the greater me, the sense of presence, the self. Everyone starts from there. It's okay. But we're bringing attention away from the unreal and onto the real for this meditation. So noticing the presence and then noticing when attention wanders as soon as you can. It doesn't matter if your attention has drifted for a long time before you realize, can't do anything about that. I'm saying that again because it's very important. There's nothing going wrong when you've been lost in thoughts for 10 minutes. We all do it. Not just a train of thoughts, but a freight train of thoughts, you know? And the only choice you have is when you recognize that that has just happened. Oh, goodness, I was aware of my thoughts. I was lost in the thoughts. And now I can bring my sense. Am I present? Yes, I am. I'm present here. Just that sense of presence, recentered. Just doing that as many times as you need to through the 20 minutes. And throughout the day, if you want to, too. Next is staying in the I am. So again, all of these might not be resonating with you, some of them more than others. Just taking note of which ones you feel that you want to have a go with. Staying in the I am is simply the recognition that all you know for certain about yourself is that you are. And we'll combine this with noticing the existence too. One of them is noticing the existence. You know that you exist. You know that you are. The only thing you can say for certain is I am. Anything else at all, anything you can tell me about existence is about the mind and the body, not you. So I am tired. I am confused. I am awakened. I am unawakened. I'm worthy. I'm unworthy. I am hungry. I'm cold. I am lost in illusion. All of that is to do with the attention, the mind and body, and not you. So just coming back to the I am, all I know for certain is I am. We can all hopefully agree that we exist, that there's an existence here as us. What that is, we don't need to think about here. We're just not acknowledging, noticing that we exist, that we are. And when attention wanders, just bringing it back to that. So anything after I am, I need, I want, I should, I shouldn't, it's all going to be to do with the mind or the body and not you. Just bringing attention back when you need to this pure sense I am, or the sense of existence. Next is being conscious of your consciousness. And again, as I'm saying these, you might have already heard of some of them, tried some of them, but I would urge you to go by how you feel now when you're listening to them today, because you're in a different place today vibrationally, your mind and body at least. You might find some of them appealing that weren't before. So being conscious of your consciousness is simply like being aware of awareness, where you're noticing right now there is consciousness present. Consciousness is here, listening to these words, listening to what your ears are hearing, noticing what your eyes are seeing. If there was a smell in the room, you'd be conscious of that. If some sensation moved in the body, some energy, you'd be conscious of that too. All of us, our attention goes to what we're conscious of: thoughts, emotions, stimuli, outer stimuli, energy moving, things like that. Very little attention to the consciousness itself, because you can't really see it. You know it's here, just like awareness, same thing. Here we're calling it consciousness. Just being conscious. Am I conscious right now? Hopefully you're still conscious, you're still with me. And noticing that consciousness, attention will drift to what we're conscious of. As soon as you recognize it's gone to some phenomena, bringing it back to consciousness itself. Utterly, utterly simple meditation here. We're not trying to get anywhere. Certainly not trying to fix anything. We're not trying to get rid of ego, mind, whatever we're calling it, separate sense of self. We're just recognizing that by putting any attention on it at all, we're going to be somehow sustaining it. So we're just bringing attention to what we do want to cultivate, what is real and stable and permanent, and what cannot suffer within us. So we have a few more, and we will take a break after we finish these. So the next one is tuning into the awakeness. So the awakeness is simply, it's very similar to consciousness awareness. And again, it might not be your one. You might listen to this and go, oh, I like that, some kind of feeling inside, or you might have the opposite feeling. This one intrigues me. I want to try it. So awakeness is simply the fact that right now, something about you is awake, isn't it? You are not asleep right now. We don't need to get into a discussion for this meditation about what is awake. You are awake right now. The waking state is here. Just noticing that awakeness. And then, of course, invariably attention will wander to what's happening inside the waking state, what your body's doing, what somebody else's body's doing, what sounds are going on, thoughts are popping up in the mind. And just bringing attention back to just the fact that I'm awake. Right now I'm awake. And simply by bringing attention back when you notice, if you don't notice, you can't do anything about it. when it's okay. When you do notice, gently bringing attention back and just resting in that as much as you can for the 20 minutes, enjoying it as much as you can. Not blaming yourself at all when attention wanders. I'm going to keep saying that because it's very important. It took me a while to figure that out. There's nothing I can do to stop my attention wandering, but I can bring it back when I recognize. There's nothing to blame myself for there. Just tuning into the awareness. So next is being the contextual field. The contextual field is really kind of the recognition that when inside any room, the objects in the room, they're appearing inside some invisible space. We can call it empty space. I'm just calling it field here, and contextual field, context meaning the background and the objects inside the field. So this body, this laptop I'm using, everything that's here is the content, the objects, the content of the field, what's happening inside the field, including my thoughts, my emotions, my body. And the field is the context, the background. So just, I found this one easy with my eyes open, looking at the objects and then noticing the field in which they're appearing. That all the objects in the room you're sitting in are appearing inside some kind of invisible emptiness, some space, which we're here calling the contextual field. It's just another name for the self, the noumenon. You could also call it awareness. But for me, sometimes this way in was easier than others. Sometimes, at first, I didn't like this one at all. It just didn't gel with me. And then it became my favorite after a while. Just noticing when attention has drifted to an object, the content of the field, a thought, something moving outside, some energy flowing, some ache in the body, something like that. And bringing back, zooming out to the field, noticing the space in which it's all happening. With any of these, if your attention is on the noumenon, you won't be able to suffer, because whatever the phenomena are that are arising inside the contextual field, you won't be able to hold attention on only that. The only thing that causes us to suffer is when our attention zooms into one object only, one thought. That costs us, paying attention to phenomena costs us so much energy, so much life force, because you're infinite and everywhere. And to only pay attention to a thought and ignore everything else that is you, or to only pay attention to one sensation or an emotion or to one body, you have to simultaneously shut out everything else without realizing. We've been doing this so long, we don't know how much it's cost us energetically. A lot of energy begins to be liberated when we meditate like this. So just noticing the field and then noticing attention drifting to the content, bringing it back to the context, the background. None of these objects can be here without the a contextual field in which they're appearing. And same, if I close my eyes, I'll see thoughts going past, not with my physical eyes, but with my awareness. And those thoughts are moving through. They are the content of the contextual field. So again, if you don't like that one, it's okay. Only four more to go. Hope you're still awake. The ever-present state of here is the next one. And that is simply the recognition that wherever you are, wherever your body is, I should say, you are here. There's a here-ness, and I know that isn't a real word, but I like to make words, a here-ness that is ever-present. So wherever your body is and watching this, participating in this, you feel like you're here. And wherever your body would move to, if you got up and came over and sat in this room here, when you got here, you'd feel like you were here. And at every point along the way, it would feel like, here, I'm here. You can never actually arrive at there. If I phoned you up and said, are you here yet? You say, I'm nearly there. But when you got here, it be here. Your body is moving around inside this sense of here-ness. It's not a tangible thing, is it? It's intangible. But if you set off in any direction to walk anywhere, even if you could somehow go to the other side of the universe, it would still feel like here when you arrive there, wouldn't it? There's no such place as there. Strange thing, but just noticing this sense of here-ness. And again, using the phenomena, if I start thinking a thought in my meditation, thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, I can notice that that's happening here. I cannot think a thought over there, can I? I can only think a thought here. I can only feel an emotion here. I can only experience something here. I cannot experience something over there. Every experience comes with this here-ness. So noticing that here-ness and noticing when attention goes to something happening inside the here-ness, bringing it back to the here-ness. So the stateless state of now, very similar to here-ness, it's just noticing that everything that's happening is happening inside this now, the stateless state of now. So you have never had a thought or felt an emotion or attended a satsang or anything like that at all, done any action that didn't happen now. So if you try to think a thought tomorrow, you're not going to be able to do that. You have to think it now. You could think a thought about tomorrow, but you would still be doing it now. And you can think a thought about, you can imagine or remember what you were doing 10 years ago, but you would still be thinking, imagining now, remembering now. You cannot get away from this sense of nowness. Again, if you got up to walk or to travel the distance from here to the other side of the planet, wherever the body is, each step along the way would not only have this here-ness, it would have this nowness, this present moment feeling to it. You can't experience anything yesterday, and you can't experience anything 10 years from now. When we got 10 years from now, it would feel like I'm experiencing it now. So tomorrow, when I'm going through whatever happens tomorrow, it will feel like now. It won't feel like tomorrow, will it? Just as yesterday when I went through it, had that present moment continuous feeling. So it's just noticing that nowness. I must stress with this that it is not living in the now. It is not being someone in the now moment. It is just noticing this present moment that seems to be the background to all our actions, thoughts, and everything that's going on. Being someone in the now is a dualistic meditation. This is more direct than that. There's nothing wrong with that, but that this one is slightly different. Right now, this moment, everything that's happening, this conversation, these words are happening inside this moment. It isn't now, succession of now moments, like the mind says. It's been the same continuous moment that never ends. And it moves from being now, a feeling of now, present moment, to just a kind of, for me, it's more like an alwaysness. This moment has always been here and always will and can never disappear. So it's noticing that nowness. And when you notice your thoughts have gone to yesterday or tomorrow, to somewhere else, noticing that all of that, imagining, dreaming, planning, walking, driving, sleeping, whatever you do is happening with that sense of nowness. When you're meditating 20 minutes, it's happening now, isn't it? At any point during that 20 minutes, it'll still feel like now. Can't get outside of it. So just noticing that now, ever-present state of now, stateless state of now. Recognizing the knower, second to last. So the knower, within all of us, is there's something that knows. So if you're bored right now or confused, you know that you're bored or confused, if you're tired, hungry, restless, need the bathroom, you know immediately. And if you were to put your hand accidentally on something hot, you would know. It's not a thought process, is it? It's not a mind process to figure out whether this thing is hot. You instantaneously know before thought, and you move your hand away quicker. And then mind says, that's hot, don't do that again, or other things, whatever it says. But the knower recognizes immediately. Whether you understand or don't understand what I'm saying, you know. There's a knowingness. So just recognizing that which knows is similar to awareness, consciousness. There's something that knows. And as always, attention will wander to what you know, the thing that you know, what thoughts are arising, things like that. Bringing attention back to that knower and allowing attention to rest there as much as possible in that. Again, I'm going to say it one more time. You cannot stop attention wandering. And we all start from the sense of feeling separate to the knower. We feel like the knower is something different, that there's small self and a big self, or ego and noumenon. Everyone starts from there and it's okay. And the knower, just like awareness, just like silence, stillness, it's been here forever and we haven't really paid it any real attention because it seemed irrelevant. It's just been here. It's no big deal. So what, you know, as we begin to pay attention to it more and more, it'll begin to reveal itself to be something amazing. Last but not least is to recognize recognizing your own subjectivity. So when I think of myself as a separate being, I'm thinking of myself as a someone, an object, something with limits and boundaries and borders. I know where I am. I'm here. I'm not over there because I'm a someone. And a someone is really just a subtle object. But when we begin to ask where we really are and what we really are, we come across this thing that isn't a thing. It's just pure subjectivity. There is experiencing, there is awareness, there is knowing, but there isn't any entity that's actually knowing. There isn't anyone looking at the objects of thoughts. There's just the subjectivity itself, the pure space of being in which all the objects are appearing, the phenomena are arising in that. So you start off noticing your own formlessness, your own subjectivity, and then invariably you'll go back to thinking as yourself, as a someone, as something, moving through time and space towards this thing called awakening. Just noticing when you're doing that, or when you're thinking about something and then bringing attention back to the subjectivity. Can't really find myself as a someone when I look. Just 20 minutes like that. So those are the 14 methods, and the homework, there's going to be some homework each week, and you won't be tested on it or anything, but it's just to help you assimilate it. Homework this week is to find at least three ways, if you can, or more if you want to, from that list of 14 and give them a go. Find the ones you like. You can try a different one off the list every week, every day even. And just to commit to 20 minutes a day until you've got some kind of routine going. Again, you don't have to do it in the morning. I'm a morning person, but most people aren't. You know, some people like to do it in the evening. If you do do it when you're feeling tired at the end of your day, best to sit up so that you're not going to fall asleep. Another way that our mind will subtly avoid doing the meditation. So just 20 minutes a day, and you can do a different one every day if you want to. You can try three in one day if you like. And you might find that some of them intermingle anyway. You know, I'm aware that the sense of being, well, there's awareness and beingness. They're not different. They're like a room with 14 different doors into that room. And just going into that room. And the idea is to open as many of those doors as you can so that you lose the ability to believe the idea that you're cut off from the real self, that you can't find it, and that it's hard to recognize. that you're never going to wake up, because here I am already hearing the sounds right now, or I'm noticing awareness right now. So the last thing I want to say is that on the YouTube channel, Satsang with Helen Hamilton, there is a playlist of guided meditations that are all suitable to do in line with what we're learning here. If you prefer to listen to a guided meditation that I've done rather than just sitting there and doing it yourself, which is absolutely natural to start off with. We all find it easier to be guided in that. Have a go. Don't beat yourself up over this. Some of my most productive meditations were the ones that were completely restless, where my attention was just all over the place, where I had to admit that's just what meditation is today. 20 minutes of restlessness. My mind said, that's not a good meditation. Well, how do I know actually if that's what's supposed to happen? So be it. So pick which one you feel or ones you feel and just begin to practice as much as you can. Don't make it hard work. Just bring in a sense of curiosity to recognizing, tuning into the noumenon. We're tuning into it because it's already here. It cannot be hard to recognize it if it's always here once we know how to look. So once we know how to look, and that's what we're learning today, we can find which one of those works for us. Everybody's body and mind is unique and individual. So there is no one being that's going to go, you know what, this is the way for me, and that's always how it is. So just play with these as you go throughout the weeks of the course. Try ones that you didn't like this week. You might like by the time you get to lesson 4. And have some fun with it. Don't make it hard work. That would be the biggest thing I ask of you. And most of all, throw out this idea that there is a good and a bad meditation. There's just meditation. And as long as we're building some consistency, that's all I'm interested in. Lovely. So we will take a break right now. Let me stop this recording.